Welcome, listeners. It's great to have you on board for the Home Base Travel Agent Show. My name is Barry Kantz, and I'm your host. And for this month's show, I want to bring you some lighthearted topics, and hopefully those topics will bring a few smiles to your world. That's the goal here this time around. And you know, it's about time to bring 2020 to a close, and with all of its problems and all the associated things going along with 2020 in the travel business, I really want to bring you some travel information that you can relate to, and you can relate to with a smile, I'm sure. And that's my hope. Now, as always, you can catch up with me on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS, or simply drop me an email at barry@hometravelagent.net. Now, I look forward to hearing from you, and in whichever way you choose to connect with me. Either way is great. It's always fun to hear from the listeners. And if you check out our website at hometravelagent.net, you can find archives of shows going a long way back. Gosh, we started the show in 2005, so we have all of our shows going back not quite to 2005, but a long time. And there are a lot of travel-related topics for the travel agent, or for anyone interested in the travel business. There's a lot of topics there that you can take advantage of, and it's all for free. So please feel free to go back, check out the website, listen to the archives. It's always great to have you here with us on the Home Base Travel Agent Show. Okay, now, with all of that said, let's get on with the show for the day. Well, welcome, listeners. I'm glad to have you here. It's a great time that we're going through. No, I'm being sarcastic. It's tough. And I know it's tough for y'all. And being, you know, in the travel business is not an easy way to go nowadays. And, you know, what I wanted to do here is have a show that's a bit lighthearted and fun and, you know, kind of take our minds away from things for a little while. And I was really fortunate to find Zoe Woods. And she is an international travel writer, and her articles, and we'll point you to those articles here in a little bit, but her articles are just great, and I know you will enjoy them, and her articles will give you a moment of pause away from all this stuff that we're going through. But with all that said, I'd like to introduce Zoe Woods. Zoe is in Sydney, Australia, and I know you know, for our listeners here in the United States, you're going to enjoy her accent as much as I do, I know. So, welcome, Zoe. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Barry. No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And, you know, anything that I, you know, left out about your writing or your background, your accent?
Oh, well, look, no, I've been traveling all my life. You know, it was something that we started doing when I was a kid. My father owned a business, and a lot of our distribution partners and our manufacturers were in the US, and in the 80s and 90s they weren't real great about coming here, so you always needed to go there. Lucky for us, you know, the Anaheim Convention Center was right across the road from Disneyland, basically, and when Dad was off working, that's where we went. So it's something that I've been doing for a long time all over the world, and now I do it with my own kids. So it's a part of our life that I value quite highly. I love meeting people and different cultures, different traditions, you know, seeing different places around the world. It's quite special to be able to partake in that and be part of, you know, this world in general, not just our small version of it that we live in.
Yeah, experiencing other cultures is always a great thing to do. Highly recommended, and I know travel agents do that, and it's something really to impress on your clients who haven't traveled outside their culture. It's so great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much to learn. There's so much to see. You know, it just broadens every aspect of your life and the way you think about the world. And I do really think that those experiences make you a better person.
And they do, and I truly believe that. And I know you, when you travel, you're traveling from Sydney, Australia, and typically you're traveling with two kids, and I know that's one heck of a plane ride. I've taken those long plane rides before, never with two children. Those have to be some interesting experiences.
Absolutely. You know, again, my kids, they've been traveling since they were little as well. So in one respect, it's a bit easier because they kind of grew up doing it. But yeah, it's very difficult, especially when you live on a small island at the end of the world. You know, it's a long way to anywhere, really. But if you love doing what you do, then, you know, that's the way to get there. So we all kind of just prepare. Preparing is the biggest part of the whole thing, to kind of get to the other end and stay sane, at least somewhat. But I think that it's really good for them. It teaches them a lot of lessons that they don't really get in everyday life. You know, kids don't learn lessons about patience anymore. Everything's instant and it comes to them, and they don't really learn how to wait anymore. But I think traveling is one of those processes that gives them that experience and teaches them that they do have to wait. You know, anybody who's been in an airport knows that they're not running on your time, they're running on their own time. So for kids to kind of have that experience, I think is really good for them. And I think mine have really benefited from having it.
Yeah, there's nothing like travel to teach you about waiting. But, you know, for most travel, that's when once you get there, you think, oh, this is worth the wait. I'm really glad I've come here. Mm-hmm. And you typically go to Disney World here in Florida. Actually, I'm in Florida, about a couple hours from Disney World. And
right.
And you're a frequent visitor to Disney World, and I know you've had some experiences there. And again, the idea of the show is to just have some lighthearted fun over this whole thing. And yep. Some of it's we're gonna talk a little bit about satire and some of the satire I'm sure you can relate with. And but don't take any of it personal, please, listeners. Okay. Anyhow.
It's always a good disclaimer to make.
Yeah. You know, I've read the stories here, and I can certainly relate to a lot of those stories. And, you know, maybe I've done those things before myself, but I don't think so. And it's fun.
No, I think you have to be a serial offender to to really make it onto one of my lists. Which ones do you think you're guilty of, Barry?
Oh. Maybe with grandkids, the shoulder sitter.
Ah, okay. You're that guy. I understand.
Yeah, I'm that guy. I'm 6 foot. You know, the reason I'm guilty is I'm 6 foot three tall, and then put one of my grandchildren on my shoulders. You know, we're up there, and we're blocking a lot of view.
Yeah. Well, they've got the best view in the house, so they'd be happy. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, they're out there. You know, they can probably see California.
You know, it's funny because California is the park that we go to the most, obviously, because of the distance from Sydney. You know, it's one plane flight to get there, whereas that second hop over to Orlando is a little bit more draining. So Disneyland is actually the park that I know best, but. You know, Walt Disney World is great too, and we go there whenever we can. But yeah, there are certainly a few personalities that you can find in the parks that you may not actually want to find. So, as you say, you've read my series, The Five People That You Don't Want to Be in Disney Parks. There's definitely quite a few on that list that I know that I have been guilty of once or twice, but I have learnt my lesson and come out the other side. So.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about those, but you also had a personal experience. That was quite funny.
Yes. My most embarrassing experience traveling ever happened to me in one of the Walt Disney World parks. It was in Hollywood Studios. You probably are familiar with the Tower of Terror ride that, you know, lifts you up and drops you down. Well, I've been on that ride many times in both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. So I didn't think too much of it when I went to the park. It was the first night that we'd come in. My son had been really sick on the plane. He'd eaten something that he was allergic to. And so he'd come good in the afternoon, but I was exhausted. So I didn't even get changed. We just came. It was last night of the Osborne Lights. So we went to go and see that. And we jumped on this ride. We go up to the top and I think, right, I'm wearing very unsupportive undergarments here. So I just think, well, before we go bouncing up and down, I'm just going to just hold my chest in place, right? So I do some adjusting at the top in the dark, thinking nothing of it, you know, who's going to know? And then we do the ride and it's fantastic. You know, we love it. We keep going. Problem is, a month later, I get home to Sydney and I get, you know, our photo pass and all of our photos, and all the kids are all sitting around because we were there with family as well. And we're all watching it and we see that they've added a video. So that's fun, isn't it? Well, Not really, because when you watch the video, there's me at the top of the ride. I don't know how I was lit. Everybody else is looking excited, and there I am fondling my chest, trying to readjust myself. So I'd like to formally apologize to the other 20 people on that ride who have a copy of this video. I have learned my lesson about Disney World, including videos, and won't let that ever happen again.
There's
video at the top, people.
You know, nowadays we have to be careful. There's video everywhere.
I know. I was in the dark. I thought this is the one place in the whole park that I can fix myself. No, no, Barry. You cannot. Anything you do up there will be seen. So that is a warning to all of you.
And then distributed to many people who have probably put it on Facebook.
Probably. It's probably out there somewhere. But then again, you know, I have admitted my mistake to everybody. So at least I can get ahead of the curve on that one.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, not pretty. But what can you do?
Now, in your articles, you have actually a series of articles. So you may have maybe 25 people that you don't want to be in a Disney park with. And this is this is kind of the satirical part. And I know you can, I can relate to some of these people. And, you know, the blocker family is one that I can really relate to.
They love it, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't know why. So the blockers are the family of, you know, like five or six people, mostly adults. It's not just, you know, holding hands with kids, you know, that will walk down, say, Main Street USA or any major area that's quite highly trafficked and just walk in a line, in a straight line, blocking the entire way for everybody coming in both directions. And it makes me crazy. And even if you try and get past them, you say, excuse me, they just kind of look at you like you're a bit of an alien and they don't know why you would need to get past them while they walk across this massive area of just blocking everybody. And do you know what my favorite part of that is? They love walking slowly too. They love it. Yeah. They just block it for everybody. And then they don't understand that there are thousands of people trying to come and go through that one thoroughfare. And you know what? There's a reason why they don't put buildings right in the middle. It's so that you don't block the flow of traffic. But no. Yeah, that's the blocker family.
Yeah, and I've had experience with that, and I can relate to it because about a year ago, we up in northern Michigan, the Mackinac Bridge that connects the Upper Peninsula to the Lower Peninsula of Michigan, which is a 7-mile-long bridge, they opened that bridge up to walk it on Labor Day here, and it's packed, and I have long legs. I tend to walk a little faster than most people, and all of a sudden you're walking along and here's five or six people walking horizontally in front of you.
Yeah.
And you have to shoulder your way through those people and they don't give much. And then once you get through, you think, I've got it made. I'm sailing here. You know, I'm walking along again. And then, you know, another 30, 40 yards up there, there's another group of horizontal walkers. And, you think, what are people thinking? Fortunately, we were all going the same way, so you didn't have to come face to face with them.
Yeah. That's lucky.
You know, being a big guy, you know, I come face to face with them. I've put on my football face. And, you know.
I think I need to develop one of those. I have an angry face I've been working on. But they make you be almost rude because you have to say, you know, you have to try and get past them. And when they don't respond to those sorts of pleasantries, it's just, you know, you're kind of faced with going at a snail's pace right behind them and never getting where you want to go, or kind of taking it to the next level. And it's just such a shame when people enter that sort of zone of being, you know, a little bit more difficult than they need to be. So.
Another
one of my favorites is Backpack Guy. Did you read about Backpack Guy, Barry?
I did.
Yeah, so Backpack Guy would have to be my favorite. He was the first one that I ever wrote about in this series. And he is so frustrating. Backpack Guy is always, he's probably going to be tall, so I'm sorry, I know that you're tall. He has this massive backpack that has pretty much everything he owns in it. And usually in a crowded line or, you know, queuing area, this was written for Disney, obviously. But this massive backpack on his back, again, owns every possession he owns is in there. And he loves to flick it around really quickly. So it will most likely hit you in the face at some point. It often also has something leaking in it. So there's something at the bottom that's like damp that will end up flicking into your face as well. The things hanging off it, you know, those little carabiners, and you've got like a pair of kids' shoes hanging off it on one side and hats hanging off the other side. So when he flings it in any one direction, it is sure to hit at least three people around him. It's like one of those spinner rides that used to be on that Wipeout show, you know, he just does like a half turn and four people go down.
Yeah.
That guy is probably the one that I meet the most.
Yeah. Hey, those people are all over. They're not just in Disney. They're all over. Yeah.
Absolutely they are. I think they're in a club too.
I think so. They probably have a Facebook group and say, you know, where are we going to go next and knock some people over?
Yep. Absolutely. I think they have a trophy for the biggest backpack, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it's sticky, that's even better. If you, like, left with something on you somewhere from this person, like, 30 minutes later, that's the kicker. That gets you the bonus points.
Yeah. You come out of that smeared with goo. You're not sure what the goo is, but it's there.
Yeah. That's right. It's something. Could be baby food. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think you'd probably want to hope it was baby food because the alternative is not good.
That's right.
Were there any other ones that stood out to you as things you've come across?
Captain Obvious. I run into those folks a lot, just about anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. They're a special one, especially with the frequent repetition of, oh, it's so hot in a line with direct sun when it's, you know, 110 degrees in the middle of Florida, and you just think, geez, that helps. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying how hot it is. That would be great.
Yeah.
But they're also closely followed by the self-appointed historian of Disney inaccuracy. That's one of my favorite ones, because when you're in these lines and things, and again, this can happen anywhere in the world, you often come across these people around you that are having these discussions, and you just hear them so confidently telling people facts that are not true. And you think, do I say something? Do I not say something? And the people around them are like, oh, that's so interesting. Oh, I can't believe you know that. I'm like, I can't believe you made that up. That never happened. That's not even true. So, you know, and you think, well, do you step in because these people are being educated about something that isn't even true? Do you help out? No. I always become restrained and just think, no, this is their problem to deal with. But I don't know how people so confidently, you know, reiterate things that this never happened and they clearly know nothing about. So
it's hard to listen to.
Favorite of mine.
Yeah.
It is, because you can be behind these people, especially in Disney, for, you know, 40 minutes at a time. So it's very hard to just sit there on end and hear somebody say things that you just go, no, Walt Disney World did not come before Disneyland. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But you just feel sorry for the people who are the audience for that person.
Yeah. And you said that his audience, they sit there just, you know, like, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, they're in awe. They can't believe it. They're like, oh, you're so clever. You know, tell us more. You just think, please don't. Just stop. That would be good.
Yeah, don't even need to go to Disneyland to hear a story.
That's right. It's probably the only time when you want to run into somebody from the Mind My Spot crew. So did you happen to read that one?
Which one?
The Mind My Spot crew.
I did.
Okay, yeah. So the Mind My Spot crew, they're the ones that send one person into line, and then when you get close to the front of the line, 30 of their family members push through the line to get to them, and they all get on the ride in front of you. Now, it's not just one or two. It's not a mum or dad that's taken a kid to go to the toilet or, you know, something that you can't help like that. It's the people who just don't want to wait in line. So they've come from their last fast pass. you know, dad's at the front of the line, and then they all push past you like a tribe of Labradors to get to the front. No excuse me's, no sorry's, nothing. And all of a sudden, when you think, oh, I'm 10 people away from the front, okay, I'm going to have the pink ride that's over there, because you obviously counted back to which one you're going to have. And these Labradors come pushing through, and you go, no, actually, I'm now 50 people away from the front.
Yeah. I like the way you set that one up, too, because you said that it's usually, you know, the big guy standing there, and he's very polite and quiet, and
yes,
and you're standing there thinking, I'm lucky. I got behind this real nice guy, and he's so nice and quiet. Then all of a sudden, the Labradors come, the people he's
exactly
holding the line for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All 20 of them.
Yeah.
Yep. And all of a sudden, everything changes. But yeah, no, he's always a nice guy. Always a nice guy that's holding the spot. Of course he is, because he's not going on the other rides with them. He's standing in line. So he's got to be the nice one of the group, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You find those all over too.
Yes. You can. No, they're not specific to Disney, but yeah, that is just one that you come across, because in a lot of Disney lines, you know, you kind of get cornered off, you know, how they sort of snake the line around. So there's no easy way to kind of get in and out of them after a certain point. So it's always being pushed through the actual line of people from the front to the back. It's not just ducking under a chain close to where somebody's standing. It's going all the way through, and you just think, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I think I just have to wait. I couldn't catch up to somebody like that and push past so many people.
Yeah, I couldn't either. That I'd feel rotten about that, I think.
Mm. But no, they do it so frequently, and it really, what makes it worse is when you run into the same people doing the same thing on more than one ride during your day, and it really makes me cranky.
Yeah. And another one that I run into too much, and it bothers me, and those are the swear bears.
Mm. Yes, I think so too. Now, I am a bit of a swearer, I've got to say, but the thing about being a swearer is that you have to know when it's appropriate and when it's not, you know? And when you're outside and you're in a family place, or even you're around your own kids in your house, you just know to shut your mouth. Like, you can turn it off just as quickly as you can turn it on. But no, you get these people that, again, in the lines, when you're sort of in this captive area, that love to just let it rip. And you think, where do you come from where that's okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I relate. The way I relate to that is I have a business partner who spent, I think, 30 years in the Navy, retired from the Navy. And the old sailing, or the old saying that, he swears like a sailor. Well, mm-hmm. Business partner fits that bill. And when we get together for meetings and stuff, we go out to eat, and we're in a, you know, fairly nice restaurant, but there's families around, and he thinks he's on the deck of a ship or something. I want to kick him under the table, you know, watch those four letter words.
Yeah, in that situation, it's all about volume, isn't it? You just got to turn that one right down.
Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, I understand you're excited about this or upset about this, but, you know, kind of turn that crap off. Here I go.
Yeah,
no, I'm going to get into it.
That's a different show, though, isn't it, Barry?
Yeah, different show, yeah.
Yes, well, that is another one that we come across quite a bit. But, you know, it also comes down to the ones that are, when they're saying it to each other in a group, it's not good, but it's one thing. But the other ones that decide to swear at cast members, for example, you know, and at other people that, you know, when they're trying to say, get out of my way, and they decide to use a different choice of words, they're the ones that, you know, I tend to have to say something to, because you just think, you know, when you're making that decision to have a conversation with your friend, yes, it's about the people who are around you and who can hear you. But when you're choosing to use that language to direct to somebody that you don't know in an aggressive way, that's just not on. So that's when you're going to get somebody like me go, hey, mate, knock it off.
Yeah. Yep. And I my business partner, I've brought it up to him. So, you know, hey, you know, we're in a restaurant. You're going to want to watch your language.
Yep. Yes, you do. I don't know his name, but yes, you do.
Yeah, his name's Todd. He knows he does that. And I know I have listeners
right,
who know
well.
Todd, so you know Todd, don't you? And Todd, if
Oh,
you're listening.
Todd, I'm gonna. I don't know if I'm hoping you are or you aren't, Todd. I'm not sure. If you ever have a blonde Australian woman who turns around and goes, "Dude, stop doing that," then there's a chance it's actually me. So sorry about that in advance. Yes, there's many other people on my list. I don't know if there's any other particular ones that you've come across, but the flasher is definitely another one that's on my list of people that I just think the time to make those mistakes is before. Now, the flasher is not probably what most of you are thinking when I say flasher. It's actually the person who goes into a dark ride or a dark situation and starts taking photos with a flash on their camera or a flash or like a light flashing on their iPad if they're taking movies, things like that, and really ruins the experience for everybody around them, not only their shot, because no one's getting that photo, especially not somebody who's using flashing Pirates of the Caribbean or trying to take a photo of the fireworks with the flash. That's my other favorite. But yeah, it just ruins it for everybody around them. Not only does it expose the rest of the ride, there's a reason why it's dark. It's so that you can't see the mechanics. It's so that the magic stays alive. And you go and put this spotlight in a corner trying to take a photo of something, and it just spoils it for everybody. So they're also people on my list of people I don't want to be on the ride with.
They're on my list too. My experience was quite recent here. A couple of days ago, we went. It was an evening space launch, Mission One, our manned mission to the
Oh,
space
yeah, we saw
station.
that online.
Yeah, and
Yep.
we walked down to the beach, and along with a whole lot of other people down there, and we're watching the rocket launch. Now, it's basically for us, we're so far away, it's just a kind of a orange bright light off in the northern sky, and then you see the little piece of the rocket streaking up. But standing there trying to watch it, here these people are using flashes on their phone, and I'm thinking, you expect this flash to bounce off this rocket that's 100 miles away, and then you're ruining my night vision.
Absolutely. My husband is the worst at that. He's a bit of a photographer himself, and he gets quite agitated when people are doing things like that, because he just stands there and says, "That's not how it works."
No.
I mean, these people must have taken enough photos that didn't turn out to have worked it out by now. I mean, flashes aren't new, so you'd think that they 100 photos taken where you go, "Oh, I can't actually see anything, and that's just a black photo," would be enough to spur them on to think, "Well, what can I do differently?" But no, it's the flash every time.
You gotta
How was
wonder.
that launch? We saw it online. Was it did you get to see it in the end? I know a lot of people found it too cloudy to see.
No, it was. We have a fair spot here to watch the launches from from Cape Canaveral. We're a
Oh,
bit
great.
far away, but if it's a night launch, usually it's fairly spectacular, even though we're 100 miles away. And quite often, when the rocket goes up, it almost looks like it goes right over us, and it's a pretty good sized ball of orange that travels right over us. This
Oh, wow.
particular launch, they must have had it positioned so it was going more east than southeast, because it didn't do that. It was just a little pinpoint of light, and it seemed like it was getting further away, which some of the launches seems like they get closer to us as they go on. But this one, as it went on, it kind of got smaller, and there were some clouds. But it's always a lot of fun to watch those things go up.
Yeah, oh, that's very cool. We would love to see something like that, but you're a little bit closer than we are, obviously. So just a fraction, but
Just a bit.
yeah, only about 27 hours on a plane. Yeah.
That's right.
But oh, that's good. That's good. I know a lot of people who traveled out there to see it who didn't actually get to see it in the end.
Yeah, they postponed it once because of the weather in the recovery area. And then 2 days later, it was on Sunday, I guess it was, they did. The launch went off and without a hitch, which is great. I love it.
Yeah, very good. It's very cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're doing great things. Well, who knows? Maybe one day your travel agents out there will be booking flights up there.
Not far away.
Yeah, it'll be coming.
That'll put a whole new twist to adventure travel.
Won't it? Yes. Yes, pro level has a new a new level to get to, I think, from that point, doesn't it?
Yeah. Nice commission, I'm sure.
I know, you probably won. Yeah. Yes, probably. Not as many restaurant reservations to make, that's for sure.
No. Well.
Yes. Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, maybe to work our way to the end of the show here, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your blogs and some of the things that you write about. We've been talking about your five people you don't want to be with in a Disney park, but you write a lot of different articles, and maybe give us an idea of where people could find those articles, and I know they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I work for a few different companies. The one that I work the most with is the Diz down in Florida. They're fabulous people, and some of them have just become my best friends. They're just beautiful to work with. But I have a spot with them every Monday. So every Monday we cover all the latest Disney merchandise that's been released for the week. So that's always fun. And then every Wednesday I write about something random that is just something I've come across in my journeys and my travels. I have two kids that have additional needs. So for us, we really started with the Diz working on, articles that were based around that sort of, you know, how to prep your kids for these sorts of situations and how to do all the things that for families like us take a lot of extra work. And we just sort of kept going from there into really just about everything. Right down to a list of unpopular opinions that I have about things. One of them being, I know the cupcakes that he wrote.
Yeah.
I have a hidden dislike for Disney cupcakes. I've said it. I admit it. Come at me. But no, I don't like them. They're just coloured fluff, and you end up getting it all over your hands, your face, if you're unlucky enough. And, you know, you've wasted the money and the calories on something that tasted like air. So that's one of the few things that I really dislike. But I often write about things that I don't like, but I do write about things that I like as well, and the magic. And again, what I was saying before about the experiences being really worthwhile for kids and giving them those sorts of chances to learn the lessons that you don't get in everyday life anymore. You know, you don't stand in line at the bank for half an hour like you did when I was a kid. You know, everything is just so instant and online. So those lessons and those opportunities for families to bond, even friends to bond, I think is so special. Sure. So that's what drives a lot of what I write with them.
Sure. And those are important things that, you know, we really need to pay more attention to: patience and bonding with friends. Mm-hmm. And not bonding with your phone.
And understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And understanding each other. You know, one of the things about travel, especially when you're going through international airports, is running into people who, you know, look different to you, who sound different to you, who speak different languages, and learning how to communicate even with just a smile. And I think that's a lost art for a lot of people these days. You know, you can communicate quite well with people who don't even speak your language if you're just willing to have the patience, you know, to invest in their body language, their facial expressions and things like that. And I have made friends with people that I've stayed friends with for years that started in those sorts of situations. So I think travel is such an important thing, and it's really a shame that at the moment it's been reduced to what it is. But in a more positive light, I like to think that maybe people won't take it for granted as much as they did anymore, and possibly have a bit more respect for the work that goes into it, the people like your listeners that really work hard to do things for them and create those adventures that they hold dear so much. It's really important that people stop just thinking that that's automatically something that's available to them and start appreciating that it's a privilege to have those advantages.
Yes. And you know, adding a little bit to what you were saying, that, you know, when you engage a stranger and making eye contact and giving them a little bit of smile, it could be pretty amazing what you do for them, and it may be even more amazing what it does for you.
Absolutely.
Such a simple thing can create some, you know, pretty amazing results, and I've had that experience myself, and I'm glad I've taken the time to make eye contact and smile at strangers.
Yeah. You never know. You can end up with lifelong friends that way.
Yep.
You know, I don't know how many times I've been in an airport and you end up smiling at another mother who is struggling because, you know, her kid's not happy and your kids really aren't happy, but they're coping with it a little bit better. The kids end up playing with each other and they pass the time together, and then you start talking to her and then you're passing the time. Before you know it, you're all on the plane and all the kids, and no one's crying, you know, not the mum or the child. Yeah. It's just, yeah, like you said, you know, you don't know what you're doing for somebody else just as much as you don't know what they can be doing for you. But a smile is, it can carry a thousand words in any language.
Yep, yeah, so important.
Well, it is.
So how can people contact you if they wanted to ask you a question or in engage in a little humor, you know, whatever?
Sure. Well, look, anybody who wants to reach out, I'm happy to have a chat. You can catch me on my email, which is askzoewood@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook, the same thing, under my page, Ask Zoe. Instagram is the same. You can also find me on the Diz, Mondays and Wednesdays. You can catch me there. All of my details are connected on there as well.
Okay, great. And for the listeners, I will have links to those contact points in the show notes. So if you missed that, go ahead and go to the show notes and take a look there, and you'll find those links. And if you want to contact me, you can email me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net, or on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS, the initials for the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. And I want to thank Zoe for being a part of our show. This was great. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And, you know, hopefully we can do this again. And
yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe we can write our own top five clients that you don't want to have as a travel agent. Or maybe the top five clients you do want to have as a travel agent. There's lots of options.
Yeah. I'm sure there's both. No problem.
There are. Yeah. I can promise you. And I think I've been both too. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, thank you so much. And we'll hope to have you back again here. And I really enjoyed it.
Great. Thanks a lot, Barry.
Well, thank you, Zoe, for giving us some interesting perspectives on our travels and for giving us a few laughs too. That was great. Now, it was a pleasure having you on the show, and we look forward to hearing more of your stories in the future here on the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. And I want to thank our listeners for being a part of the show. I wish you all the best here in the upcoming holiday seasons. And if you missed any of the links we talked about on the show, you can find them in the show notes on our website at hometravelagent.net. And we do have archives that go quite a ways back, actually almost to the beginning, which was in 2005. So there's plenty of material there that you can download and listen to at your listening pleasure. So I want to wish everyone a good day, as they say in Australia. I don't know if I can do it right. Good day. And we will see you next month. So take care, everyone. Stay safe. Safe travels. Stay healthy. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye for now.